So I'm a commercial pilot. I have flown hot air balloons for a little over 30 years. Tam and I had a business together, and we flew corporate balloons mostly. We did some rides, but mostly we just did corporate balloons. And we traveled all over the U.S. flying for companies. And it was a nice avocation. We were both teachers, but I think we made more money doing that than we did teaching. It was a much nicer job. Anyway, how many of you have flown in a balloon? Anybody ever been in a hot air balloon before? Flown in a hot air balloon? Okay. So we have one. So what was it like? What was it like?
Peaceful. Pretty calm.
Okay. Peaceful? Calm? What else?
That's all I got.
That's all you got. All you got. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody want to ride in a balloon? Yes? And why do you want to ride in a balloon?
I see them all the time because during race time, and I live in Speedway, they have like a hot air balloon thing every year, and I've just always wanted to do it.
Okay, so it looks really exciting and romantic and all that? You get to skip school because it's during the race. Okay, so you've seen them during the races. Okay, who would not want to fly in a balloon? No? Why?
I don't think I would feel secure.
Wouldn't feel secure? What else?
I don't trust the balloon.
Don't trust the equipment. Okay, anybody else? Why wouldn't you want to fly in a balloon? Fear of heights? Pardon? It does not glide. It does not glide. You're taking off in an aircraft, and it's not a carnival ride at all. You're taking off in an aircraft that is 7 stories tall. The air inside of it weighs 8,000 pounds. It's 90,000 cubic feet on average. And you're standing in a little wicker basket held up by hot air in a 1.5-ounce ripstop nylons, kind of like your nylon jacket, you know. And you have no steerage, no brakes, and you never know where you're going to land. You're at the mercy of the wind, and you never know where you're going to land. So it's kind of exciting, isn't it? And then there's the fact that you've got this burner right over your head that's putting out 24 million BTUs. Your household furnace is about 150,000 BTUs. And this is 12 million. So the flame, 18 inches, think about this, Pentecostal people. You have a flame 18 inches above your head that is 3,000 degrees. And, of course, the nylon melts at 300. Something to think about, too, isn't it? So there's justified fear and trepidation of taking off in a balloon. But I would suggest, I'm going to suggest this morning, that's what God would desire for each one of us. It's no different than stepping out of a boat and walking on water, is it? It's the same kind of anxiety, the same kind of fear. I'm not sure it's the water's going to hold me up, you know. I'm not sure this is going to work. And so there's a lot of doubt and a lot of faith. But Jesus didn't offer that just to Peter. He offered that to every one of us in a very literal way. That every part of our life should reside in that kind of faith. And so think about the fact that when you take off in a balloon, you're giving up a lot of control. going here. By the way, that's our kids crewing for us. Our kids would come out and crew. They traveled with us everywhere we went. And it was an exciting time that we got to minister to a lot of people and to give a lot of people a different perspective on life and on the world around them. And so we were always able to bless others, and it was really a neat thing to do and something that we could do with our children. This is some of the balloons that we flew. I flew 55 different balloons. This is a few of them. It's a few of the places we flew. Yeah, we flew over a lot of racetracks, mostly NASCAR, major football stadiums. And we went to schools a lot, and we ministered a lot to students in schools. And I could stand up in the balloon, I had a headset on, and look out over the children underneath me. And I remember one time the kids walking out of the school, falling out, and I just went into travail. I just began to travail for all the children in that school and just began to cry out to the Lord, and had to turn my headset off because I had speakers so I could speak to the students, you know. And it was powerful. It was awesome. And that happened on a couple of occasions, but I just remember one time in particular where I couldn't even collect myself to speak, and they were waiting on me to speak, and I was just up in the balloon and just crying, you know, just travailing for these students. So we had lots of opportunity to pray over lots of K-12 students, as well as many of the college students that worked with us. NASA Space Camp. I got to go to NASA Space Camp every year and speak and share a little bit about the history of aviation and the physics of ballooning. So the idea of taking off, of letting go control of your life, and to go with the flow of the Holy Spirit daily, is something I want you to think about. Many of you are familiar with this. I know this because I hear you talk and we share, and I know your hearts and I know your spirits. So I want you to be aware of that today. He's raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places, and we use that scripture a lot to talk about authority and power that God has given us. But the scripture goes on to say, if you're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. That's really where our heart and mind should be. Opportunities for power and authority, that comes from Jesus, and that's it's there when we need it in the given situations that we're in. I prayed every time I took off in the balloon. I've got over 2,500 hours, and I've prayed every time. And I prayed a lot as I was landing. We don't really land balloons. There's no brakes. There's no steerage. And you've got to stop movement of something that weighs 8,000 pounds, 7 stories tall. How do you do that, you know? They're really just a controlled crash. That's what we call it. It's a controlled crash. So lots of prayer there. And I never had an accident, by the way. That was... So I find that with Jesus, we're walking with Jesus and we take off with him, he always brings us to our desired haven, as it says in Psalms 107. You know, he guides us to our desired haven. He brings us to the place that we need to be. And so every day, life is full of the supernatural. That we don't have to conjure it up when we walk with Jesus. I can't quite see all of that, but you know the scripture. Behold, a door standing open in heaven, and a voice saying, come up here, and I will show you things. Come up here. Come up here, and I will show you things. I believe this is a word for us today, that God is calling us to come up here. He has things to show us. We've talked about an open heaven. We've talked about an awakening. Coming. No, it's here. It's here. As I try to work through the rest of these slides, I want you to consider how you respond to that, how you will respond to an open heaven. That's not just, oh, that's wonderful, but what will you ask God? What will you seek God for? What is it you desire? What is in your heart to do? This is your opportunity, or this is a opportunity, a special opportunity, I believe, at this time, to ask God what it is you want, what it is you need, what is it you desire, what is the desire of your heart, and you'll receive it. By the way, Rebecca, I received that word today from my hips. Thank you. I sit in the back and I'm not as expressive in my worship as I used to be, because I can't stand up for very long. So I'm happy to be able to stand here in no pain today. So thank you. So think about what it is you want to say to God. One of the things I like about these photos, these images, is that they give you a different perspective of the world around you. The things that people always tell me when they're in a balloon is that, wow, it's so neat to see the world from this perspective. I never see things like this, you know, and it's so exciting. And I think God wants to give us a different perspective on the world around us. I think he wants to look at it differently. And one of the first things you notice when you take off in a balloon is that it's very stable. It's very still. It's very quiet. The balloon is very stable. And you just drift along, and it's peaceful. And you can see a very long ways. It's really awesome that you can see a very long ways, 360 degrees. God says, lift your eyes. Told Abraham, lift your eyes and see. And told Moses, lift your eyes and see. He told Joshua, lift your eyes and see. See the promised land. See what I have prepared for you. I think part of that is the fact that we can look back as well, that we can see backwards. We can see our past more clearly from his perspective. We talked, I don't know how many times people mentioned healing this morning. I believe God is here to heal people today. He's here to touch people and to heal them. I thank God for my hips right now. Probably that's part of it. But I'm talking about the emotional healing, the mental healing that needs to take place sometimes so that we can go on in God. Because there's some of those things that happen in our lives. From our past, we feel betrayed, we feel things where we're unfairly treated, this happened, that happened, and we get stuck on it, and that becomes a lens through which we view the rest of our life. And we get stuck in that, and we begin to treat God that way, and look at God that way, or look at other Christians, and we aren't able to have faith, we aren't able to trust, we aren't able to walk fully because of those issues. And God wants to heal that. And he wants you to be able to look back from his perspective and to see that everything that has happened in your life since before the time you were born has been to prepare you to be the person he called you to be today. To be that unique person, that unique character in his body, in his kingdom. That he told Jeremiah, I knew you before you were even formed in the womb. And think about what Moses went through, when, you know, abandoned by his parents, abandoned as a baby. Wow, that should have an incredible psychological effect on somebody, you know. Raised in a different culture, and yet all the time, in his heart, he knew he was Jewish, and he knew that he had a vision and a desire to bring those people out. He grew up knowing that. And he had to get over some issues, I think. He had to spend some time on the backside of the desert so that God could work in his life. And then he said, okay, now go do what I called you to do to begin with. You know? And so God uses those things. And he heals us of those things. But he wants us to go through those experiences. It's a way of preparing us for the things of his kingdom. And so we need to see it that way, in a positive way. Joseph, that precocious young man who had a vision and word of God, very talented, very creative, very intelligent, and he couldn't keep his mouth shut, and everybody was annoyed with him, and his brothers got rid of him. Sold him into slavery. How do you think he might have felt sitting in prison all those years? To the point that his soul entered into the iron, it says. And then God brought him out. And he led Egypt and fed Egypt and provided for Egypt and provided for all of Israel, for his family and all of Israel. And so these negative things in our lives, we need to look at them as positives. What are we learning? How are we growing? Let God heal that. Let God use that. So, and I think only when you fully understand these things can you completely heal and forgive is the next step. And embrace your calling. Embrace who you are and what God is doing in your life and his purpose for your life. And we look at some of these biblical characters. We realize God's not going to change our circumstances, at least not right away. David was a long time hiding in caves and fighting. But he uses our circumstances to change us. And so we're in difficulty. Ask God, how are you using this to change me, to make me who you want me to be? And then it says, in Isaiah, he says that he makes the wilderness like the Garden of Eden and the desert like the Garden of the Lord. So he doesn't pluck us out of difficulty and just place us into this idyllic garden. Instead, he calls us that garden to rise up and be a part of our lives. He works within us so that our wilderness becomes the garden, becomes like Eden. And there, he can walk with us again. Amen? Okay. I don't know where I am here. You know, I'm reminded too, this might be of encouragement to somebody. When we're talking about healing, the 10 lepers that ran to Jesus and said, have mercy on us, have mercy on us. And he said, go your way. And they turned around and walked. And as they walked, they were healed. As they walked. God has called us to walk with him daily. And as we walk in faith with him daily, we are healed. He provides that healing that we need. So be encouraged there that sometimes it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes it's as we walk, and I think that's even more important. So I pulled this slide about lift your eyes and see. Because I know that word that Melissa gave weeks ago, do you see what I see? Remember when she was singing that and she had that word, do you see what I see? And it was God speaking to us. And I thought, no, we don't. We need to rise up and see what it is that he sees. That we see our world differently. We begin to see ourselves in him, seated in heavenly places in him, and that he has already taken care of so many things in our lives. This is disjointed because I'm not talking according to my notes or my anything. So I'll come back to that point, but I do want to point this out too. Ananias was sent to Paul when he was struck blind as Saul. And he said to him, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will, that you should see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. We're called to that, to see and to hear, and to know his will. And so when we're up in a balloon like that, you can see forever, it seems like. And you can hear a very, very long ways. And I would love to just talk about seeing and hearing. That'd be a great thing to talk about in and of itself. But the fact that you can hear a dog barking a mile away when you're in a balloon. I once talked to a guy, you remember CB radios? You know, they're good for, I don't know, a mile or two, a couple miles maybe. We used to use CB radios in the balloon, and I talked to a guy over 200 miles away on a CB radio. I was flying in the Atlanta, Georgia area. He was flying up near Charlotte, just this side of Charlotte, just south of Charlotte. So we talked on CB radios. We found that even in the air, if we're close, we can talk to each other balloon to balloon because there's no obstructions. There's nothing to interfere. And so we can hear really well up there. So, you know, draw your analogy. When we're moving in the Holy Spirit, we can hear much more clearly the things of the Lord. (Clears throat) So I took a balloon trip, high altitude. It was actually a race. It was a distance race, and so we would get high, way up in the air, and we're VFR, visual flight rules, and we're flying. We were supposed to stay under 12,000 feet. But we had a waiver. We went above 12,000 feet. This was probably taken at about a little over 5,000, 6,000 feet maybe. Interesting how things change as we ascend. The perspective and how out of focus everything that was so important to us down below was, you know. And here's the powerful thing. That I look down and I can see cars and going this way and that way and my chase crew frantically trying to find roads to get ahead of us or to stay with us. And there's stoplights and traffic congestion and sometimes the road doesn't go the direction I'm going in. And yet I'm floating along from point A to point B effortlessly. That when we're moving in the Holy Spirit, all the angst, all the struggles, all the stress isn't there anymore. We work so hard in our own human effort sometimes to be the person we want to be the Christian we think we ought to be. God says, come up with me. Move in the flow of the Holy Spirit. Walk with me daily. And I will bring you to that spot effortlessly. Amen. And the wonderful thing, no maps, didn't need a map, didn't need directions, didn't need a call for help. I was just there. I never got lost. I took this picture when I was a little higher. This is, 15,000 feet maybe somewhere. And as we were flying, the clouds formed underneath us. So I could no longer see the earth. I couldn't see any sign of the ground. The mountains there, North Georgia mountains, finally disappeared. And all I had was blue sky above me. And puffy white clouds underneath. There was a few gnats flying around. I don't know how gnats, I guess updrafts, you know, but there were gnats up there bugging me a little bit, you know. It was really cold. It was below zero. I'm putting on gloves, and I'm putting on sunscreen at the same time. And I'm just standing in this little wicker basket. And occasionally I'd hit the burner and check and make sure I'm in equilibrium and I'm flying along. Because there's no reference to the earth at all. So I pull out a bottle of water and I'm eating a sandwich. And I get this word, be still and know that I am God. Be still. And the presence of God was heavy in that balloon at that time. Be still and know that I am God. And I looked at my GPS, and we're flying at 87 knots, which is 100 miles an hour. So there's no wind, there's no sensation of movement, because you're moving with the wind, right? Because we were moving with the wind, there was no wind. I couldn't feel anything. No breeze. And so it felt like I was standing perfectly still. And yet we were moving at 100 miles an hour. All kinds of spiritual implications there, isn't there? So So sometimes we feel like we're just standing still. God, what are we doing, you know? And yet, when we're up there with him, we're walking with him, we are moving very quickly. So think about how many times Moses said to Israel, stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. The Egyptians you see today, you will see no more. And then you will not need to fight this battle. When Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir came against the city, he said, you don't need to fight this battle. Stand still and see the salvation of God. God works in our behalf. And he will always, we don't have to take things into our own hands. God works in our behalf when we walk with him. And I can tell you lots of stories of that. And he will move the enemy out of the way, no matter what the enemy thinks. So I have this to say as well, and then I'll close. One of the things we did with the balloon was to tether a great deal. Spent a lot of time tethering. We tethered the balloon for a couple reasons. One, there's a large crowd of people there. We want to draw the attention of a lot of people. But we find that when we're tied down like that, we're buffeted by the winds. The winds are constantly caving in the side of the balloon. And we're constantly having to fight that. That's a 60 feet wide, 7 stories tall, and the wind is constantly, it's like a giant sail. And we have to really fight that and to keep the balloon open and to be able to keep the flame and the heat up in it. And the bottom right there, we're sliding around on the top of a park. We put the balloon up on top of a parking deck in downtown Atlanta. And that's solid ice that we're sliding around on. We rented out the entire deck during the Super Bowl or something, but buffeted terribly by the wind. I'm going to tell you, a lot of Christians find themselves tethered to the things of this life. We find ourselves tethered to habits, to idols, to traditions, to our culture, our sports teams, I don't know. Well, we find ourselves tethered to these things. And because of that, we find ourselves continually buffeted by life around us. The enemy can really wreak havoc when we're tethered to these things. Many of our, even our gifts, gifts that God gave us, can become tethers. They can become idols. When Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, God had the people, and he prophesied this to Abraham, that they would come out with great riches. And sure enough, the Egyptians, the people, gave their gold to the Israelites as they were leaving. So they went out with great gifts, with tremendous wealth. And yet they took those things, that gold, and had it turned into an idol, melted and turned into an idol. Later on, they were moaning and complaining about being in the desert and the hardship, and they're missing the leeks, the garlics, and the onions, and all those things. And so God sent serpents among them, snakes among them that bit them, and some of them died. And so God gave them, they repented, and God gave them a bronze serpent. Remember that? A bronze serpent. And they began to worship the bronze serpent, and they gave it a name. It became an idol to them, this gift that God had given them. And so they had to have it destroyed. And then they said, oh, we got to go up and fight against these Philistines. Let's bring the Ark of the Covenant, and we'll take it ahead of us, and we'll win. The Ark will give us the victory. And we all know that didn't happen. That the Philistines won. Not only did they win, but they took the Ark. It had become an idol, a cult figure that was going to give them success in battle. How many times do we see Christians do that? They take the things of God, and they want something in their own personal life, and they begin to use their Christianity as a cult idol, as a way of getting their way. God, do something for me. That's sorcery. And so God gave the Ark to the enemy because the enemy revered it and respected it and took care of it. Isn't that interesting? So even our gifts can become idols sometimes. So we are not made to tether. We are not made to be tethered. God did not make man to be tethered to anything of this earth. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of it. And he called us to fly, to move with the winds of the Holy Spirit. In this scripture, the wind blows where it will, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That scripture has stuck with me and been in my life for a very, very, very long time. And God has worked it out in a very practical way that maybe we can talk about some other time and how, just powerful way in which God moves. So just to encourage you, that when you delight yourself in the Lord, he will cause you to ride over the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. And we use this scripture a lot to talk about the bride. The body of Christ, the bride, the church, in which God is saying, come up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And he is speaking to the church. He's speaking to us corporately to come up together. Come up together and to minister to one another. To minister to one another. To minister to one another. That's why he gives us gifts. To perfect the church. Not for our own entertainment, but to perfect the body of Christ. So I come back to the question that I ask you. What has God put within your heart to do? I encourage you to to set aside every weight that doth so easily beset us. That was a scripture that someone had this morning. To learn to fly. To learn to fly. To press on farther up and further in to the things of God. To an open heaven where God says, come up here and see. And then someone else mentioned this morning about not neglecting the gifts. Do not neglect the gift that is within you. Paul wrote that twice to Timothy. Once in each book. Stir up the gift that is in you. Stir up the gift that is in you. And so I would encourage you today, stir up the gift that is within you, that God has given you. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we recognize this open heaven that you've given us. We recognize the awakening that you're doing in our midst. And oh, God, we pray that we take advantage of these times. I pray for each person in this room right now that they will call out to you and say, oh, God, now, this is my heart. This is my heart. Now, this is what I desire. And I want to use this gift, and I want to do this and to do that and to be this and to be that in you, O Lord. Father, freshen our gifts. Freshen our anointing. Shake us loose from the tethers, O Lord, that we've grown accustomed to. Cause us to fly again. To have a fresh perspective. And to see you, and to see others around us in a new way. And may we know your presence and your purposes and walk in them one day at a time. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus.